I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today. My name is Ernie Clausen. I work at the Northeast Research Station in St. Joseph, Louisiana. I'll be reporting to you today about several studies that were done in Northeast Louisiana, focusing on using in-season measurements of NDVI to determine whether they can be related to lint yield. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, first of all, especially Dr. Brenda Tubanya, who's the second author, who is really the one who's spearheading these projects. And I want to mention also that I'm relatively new to the sensor-based research, the NDVI, but we'll try to answer your questions the best I can. Lint yield is generally considered the ultimate metric of a successful cotton crop. But there are a lot of biophysical properties that can be measured during the season that can relate to lint yield. These generally reflect different types of stresses that occur during the season. Some of these relate to the canopy structure. They include just biomass, also leaf area index or canopy coverage. Others are specific to the leaves themselves, the color elements related to chlorophyll, and temperature can also be measured. Historically, these type of biophysical measurements have been measured with very intensive processes. Individual measurements on leaves of chlorophyll is an example, or this method shown here of measuring leaf temperature is another. This can be very accurate, but it also involves a very small sample size. And in other cases, such as for leaf area index or crop biomass, it involves a destructive sample. So these are not very farmer friendly, and they, in a field that has any significant variability, the small sample size makes it more difficult to be confident in the results. Remote sensing is a relatively new innovation that has potential to resolve some of those problems, although it creates challenges of its own. It does have the ability to measure the characteristics of the crop over the entire field or over large parts of that field, and does it very easily and very rapidly. The sensor we used in this experiment was the Green Seeker, with the characteristics shown here on this slide. This was not our intention to endorse this per se, but it was the only sensor that we used. The biggest challenge, of course, with the NDVI, has been touched on in several presentations today, is the calibration issues and the interpretation of the results. The reflectance that's detected by the sensor is converted into a normalized difference vegetative index. And previous research has suggested potential correlations with plant biomass and several other factors, including crop yield. The quantitative relationships involved need to be established, and especially for cotton, this, I think, can be difficult. In my experience, there are a number of factors in cotton that can affect the yield independently of the nitrogen rate. A plant which has a high biomass and therefore a high NDVI can also have had a strong insect attack and lose all its fruit and have a very low yield. Likewise, when the bolls open up at the end of the season, they're very vulnerable to bad weather events. All these things complicate the correlations between NDVI and lint yield. So one of the objectives of this study, and there were several, was just to predict lint yield with the aid of remote sensors. This picture shows two plots that vary in color and also yield. I've mentioned this first objective already. And a second objective was to determine the optimal time for sensing if you're going to use NDVI to project cotton lint yield potential. And the data I'm presenting today doesn't address this directly, but we will be presenting the data only from the times that were the most ideal in predicting lint yield. Our methodology involved three experiments in Northeast Louisiana. They were started in 2008 and continued in 2009. In Winsboro, we had a jigger silt loam, and this is a Lussell soil with a frangipane at a very shallow depth, a foot or less even, and therefore very drought prone. Our Ag Center recommendations for nitrogen fertilizer rates on that soil range from 60 to 90 pounds of nitrogen. Second location was on Sharkey Clay in St. Joseph, and this is a deep alluvial soil, very high in clay content, strong shrink swell properties, so it is somewhat drought prone, but not to the same extent as the jigger. The recommended nitrogen rates vary from 90 to 120 pounds. And a soil which is transitional in between a commerce silt loam and a Sharkey clay, I'm calling it here a commerce silty clay loam. And this one, being a transitional soil between those two soil textures, would be expected to have nitrogen fertilizer recommendations in between those two levels. The treatments included pre-plant nitrogen rates of 0, 30, 60, 90, and 120 and 150 pounds of nitrogen per acre. There was also plus or minus PGRs that was included. The data did not show any interaction between nitrogen rate and PGR, and therefore the nitrogen rate main effects are what are focused on in this presentation. Sensor readings were made at four different occasions during the season. These included early square, early bloom, and then 2 weeks after early bloom and 4 weeks after early bloom. And the yield was collected. Also, the NDVI sensor data was normalized using two different methods. The first of these methods was to divide the NDVI reading by the numbers of days after planting to adjust for different days after planting to the different growth stages, which can occur due to different varieties or different dates of planting and so forth. A second way to normalize this data was done by dividing NDVI by the cumulative growing degree days. This is a similar concept to the number of days after planting. Dr. Varco this morning in one of the presentations showed that NDVI just naturally increases with the age of the crop. And so the timing of the sensing has a big impact on the values that you observe. Therefore, this normalization just accounts for that timing a little bit better. Predictive models were fit to the data to predict lint yield from the NDVI. The basis for selecting the optimal model was the R-squared. This shows the relative yields in the 2 years of the study. Weather considerations were quite strong in both years here, especially in 2008, where we had several tropical storm systems that came in and dropped extremely high levels of rainfall on the studies. Had a particularly strong effect on the Sharkey clay in 2008. Also in 2009, we had substantial rains in the fall, particularly in October, and those studies, such as the Sharkey, which were not able to get harvested prior to that date, also had relatively low yields. There were variation by years in the degree to which nitrogen impacted yield as well in the studies. In 2009, I guess first I should interpret here this, the blue bars that say with N, those represent the yield maximizing nitrogen rate, whatever that may have been. And then the red bar represents the unfertilized check plots. So in 2009, the degree to which the yield maximizing rate was higher yielding than the check ranged from 40% to 70%. So we had strong nitrogen responses. In 2008, those responses were quite a bit less, ranging from 15 to 25%. So responses were quite a bit more muted in 2008. It's possible that some of the weather effects could have masked some of the nitrogen differences. This is the data from 2008. In this year, the most, or I should say the best relationships between NDVI and lint yield were obtained when the sensors were used 2 weeks after early bloom. The chart on the left shows NDVI that is not normalized for planting date or growing degree days. And the R-square was 0.4, And then after normalization, by dividing the NDVI by the number of days from planting to sensing, the R-square was improved quite a bit, all the way up to 0.73. However, when we combined the data from 2008 and 2009, we had more clutter, more spread in the data that was manifest. In this case, the ideal time for sensing as far as finding a good relationship with lint yield was 4 weeks after early bloom. So that's a little later than we would hope as far as being able to use that to apply in-season fertilizer rates. This is the data from comparing lint yield to NDVI without normalization, and the R-square was 0.33. Dividing NDVI by the number of days from planting to sensing improved the R-square very slightly to 0.37, still not the best relationship. And then if the NDVI was divided by the cumulative number of growing degree days, the R-square improved all the way to approximately 0.5. So to summarize these results, it does appear that the normalization of the NDVI improves the R-squared of the equations that predict lint yield. So some form of this may be necessary in using NDVI in our circumstances. Still quite a few challenges that remain. We would really like to find a way to do early season sensing effectively. Additional data are needed to do that. Refine the model for the NDVI collected earlier. Also, there are some other types of analysis that could be pursued. One of those is to look at relative yield. We have not done that yet, but in years where late season events such as tropical storms decrease the yield to unusual levels, but nitrogen differences are still preserved, a relative yield or percentage of the top yielding treatment may be a more effective way to relate the NDVI and determine if you need extra fertilizer. Also, I think we could probably look at some of the higher nitrogen treatments as nitrogen-rich strips or those type of things and look at the data that way. So with that, I'll conclude, and I'll be glad to answer any questions that you might have.
We do have time for questions.
Okay. Dr. Yin made a comment rather than a question, but he suggested using not only relative yield, but also using relative NDVI to maybe increase the correlation. I'm not really familiar enough with this type of data to make a judgment, but that may have some good potential. Okay, well, thank you very much.
No further questions. Well, I'd like to...